if an insurer does not know what the cause of say, repeated injuries are, and then they would try to, and they came up and said, well, this person's accident prone, so we want to risk assess them by increasing their premium because they've had three times they've fallen down the stairs and broken their leg. We don't know how that happened, but, I mean, can't they, they couldn't do that under this. I mean, you're prohibiting that, and whether they knew the cause, the approximate cause of the injury or not, if somebody's accident prone, maybe they should have a higher premium. I mean, I don't know.
If Mr. Sykes was here, he'd explain. We had this discussion in the Senate, and that's why the bill and it was drafted in concurrence with the Division of Insurance to say on line 9 the word only.
Yeah.
That word is crucial to addressing that concern you raised, Representative Rookberg, because if they don't know, then it's not the only reason. It's only if they know that it's caused by domestic violence or that the victim is a, the insured or the potential insured is a victim of domestic violence that they can violate this prohibition. If they don't know, they're not in violation because it's not the only reason that they're discriminating against them. And they don't have a duty to know either.
Well, Mr. Chairman, to follow up on that, could they increase the premium if there was more than that knowledge, or I mean, say there's a victim of domestic violence and there's a clear pattern of other problems. I mean, would that, or there's perhaps clearly if there was a pre-existing health condition that was unrelated to any traumatic injuries as a result of domestic violence, wouldn't you say they had a chance to increase their premium? Or would they be able to increase the premium then? Or presumably just a woman here, or not necessarily a woman, no, it could go both ways, can it? What if they start smoking? Can they increase the premium?
Mr. Chairman? The answer is yes, they can increase the premium, because in that case, it is not the only reason they're increasing the premium. The only reason is not that they're a victim of domestic violence. The reason is because they have a pre-existing condition, or that they're smoking now. So that's not a discriminatory, a prohibited discrimination under this bill.
But Mr. Chairman, to follow up, what if they had a pattern of these injuries over a period of time? I don't know whether they underwrite for that or not, but seemingly they would. But they were in fact caused by domestic violence, but the insurer didn't know that. What happens?
Unless the insured knows they're a victim of domestic violence, there's no violation.
So then it's a matter of evidence and proof. If there's any kind of cause of action filed or claim?
Well, at that point, under this legislation, if they canceled somebody or raised their rates, they would notify them, just as they do under existing law, of why. If they were denying them original coverage, this bill would say they would have to say why they denied them the coverage. At that time, they'd have to articulate a reason other than that they were a victim of domestic violence for their discrimination. And if they could do that, they wouldn't be in violation of the law.
Well, that kind of leads into my next question. The required disclosure on page 2 doesn't seem to apply to this case. It seems to set a standard or a requirement for the insurance company in general for any termination of a policy. Is there any way to get at what you want without having to create a whole new operation for the insurance industry?
Chairman.
Or is it a whole new operation for the insurance?
Mr. Sykes is here, and he can correct me if I misstate anything here. So my understanding, under the existing insurance code, anytime an insurance company cancels or an insured or raises their rates, they're required to provide notice of why they do so. So the only additional element in this bill is if they deny insurance to a new applicant, they would have to advise that person why they're denying the insurance. And since the bill covers the gamut of and needs to cover the full range of insurance available, both property and medical disability, it seems important that they provide that disclosure. And once again, the only modification here will be for people who they deny original coverage to. And I think we heard some testimony about why that's a good idea.
I I wish I had been here, and I wouldn't have to be asking redundant questions, but what percentage of an insurance company's activity is denying insurance, and just how much of an impact does this have on insurance companies?
I don't know the answer to that, but anytime...
It seems to me that we could craft some language that addressed the issue instead of a blanket thing.
Well, it's very difficult to say you only tell them if it's because of domestic violence when you'd be admitted to breaking the law if you did so.
Yeah, I got my thought process that far.
I recognize
it's not easy.
I would just say that they get an application for insurance from a new person. They're going to have to make some assessment. They're going to have some reason why they decide to insure or not to insure. They're going to have to send them a notification, written notification, that we're not going to insure you. It seems it wouldn't take very much effort at all to simply say, because you have a pre-existing condition that we don't want to insure, or because you have a lousy safety record, or because you're a jet fighter pilot, or something like that. I mean, that's one sentence they would have to add to the letter they send to people saying we're not going to insure you.
Well, if Representative Bell doesn't mind, there's one other question here. What, in the cases, as I understand it, there hadn't been any documented here, but there are quite a few outside. In the ones that are outside, what earthly reason do people have to discriminate against domestic violence victims? The fear of having costs from the, injuries? Or
it's profit.
Because that they're more likely to be...
Yeah, if you know that they have a spouse, a former spouse, who's inclined to commit acts of violence or property damage, it's only a good profit motive to cancel them, so you don't have to pay a claim on it if it happens.
Through the chair, it's also my understanding, though, however, that there are no actual studies that show domestic violence costs insurance companies more money. There hasn't been any type of an actuary study that has come down and said, here is the reason why. It's more of a perception that there's a problem with it, that it will cost more money.
Representative Vina?
Yes.
Representative Elton?
I was just going to say on the disclosure discussion, where we're adding the new disclosure for original applicants, I mean, that's strange a notion. I mean, that's what essentially happens if you apply for credit and are denied credit. You have a right to know why you were denied credit. So it's not a notion that's any different than we apply in other areas.
Are you saying that if you were to apply for a credit card and they rejected you, they would have to provide you a reason for that rejection without you...
I think the difference is that they're not necessarily required to tell you when they reject, but if you ask, they have to tell you. You have a right to ask, and they must tell you why you were denied credit, which is not that much of a different notion than what is occurring here.
Like today, here you don't have to ask.
Right.
It's given to you.
Right.
And the other scenario, you have to ask.
Yeah, we should maybe amend the credit reporting.
Really, 180 degrees different. Representative Roper.
I'm just trying to tune into the bill again and ask the bill sponsor about the definitions on page 2. What was, you had to find all these things for this new section? Or?
Maybe Mr. Sykes can respond to that, because that was a suggestion of the Division of Insurance.
Oh, you can say that. I'll just go ahead.
Relinquishing the hot seat.
Where were you on the night of?
Yeah. Ken, I want to ask you to summarize very quickly. We are already 10 minutes late, and there's another committee that meets in here at 5 o'clock, and they're out in the hallway.
Okay. For the record, I'm Ken Sykes of the Alaska Division of Insurance. Real quickly, Senate Bill, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 197 before you, LNC. The division does support the bill as written here. What it does is encompasses all insurers, property, casualty, and life and health, writing business in the state of Alaska. That would be an answer to Representative Roekberg's question, why we need all those definitions, and on page 2, we have a myriad of definitions that apply to different entities in our statute. This incorporates all of them. What this bill does, it makes the insurer write for a condition and not a cause. In other words, the condition of a bad heart or bruised ribs or a broken arm, not that it was caused by an industrial accident or domestic violence or just plain clumsiness. Insurers can deny for a myriad of reasons. Mostly what you'll find is that they will not accept an application based on frequency, which sitting around a table you could understand. If somebody has 10 accidents within a 2-month period, that is definitely a high risk. The insurer is allowed to rate for that risk because of the 10 accidents as a frequency, not because of the individual causes of those accidents, because there may not be a relation between those two. What you're looking at is the relationship of the condition.
President Porter.
Karen, I guess in wrapping it all up, what it is that this bill is asking is to not discriminate because of domestic violence, but to allow an insurance company to discriminate, if you will, based on any other rational reason that they now do.
Correct.
So if the two happen to coincide, it doesn't mean that they're stuck with a risk that because it's a domestic violence victim as opposed to a clumsy person.
No. Through the chair, to represent the partner, that is correct. It goes hand in hand with another statute we have concerning unfair discrimination, 2136090D, as in dog.
Representative Roper.
Just to, I don't recall your testifying, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Sykes, last time about the required disclosure situation where we require an insurer to inform any covered applicant or insured about the reason for cancellation? What's the policy now? I mean, is there any at all or what?
Through the chair, Representative Rokeberg, yes. This section here actually speaks to the actual application process. Currently on statute now, if an insurance company wants to raise your premium or cancel your premium, they must send you a notice within a specified time period, and they also must state the reason why they're either increasing your premium, non-renewing your coverage, or cancel your coverage. What this does, this hits at the first step. In other words, if I do not accept your application for coverage, then I will tell you why.
Further questions? Thank you, Ken. I want to just briefly run through the list of folks who have not spoken on this issue before. The only person I see it signed up is Margaret Dowling. Please.
Chairman Cott, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Margaret Dowling and I represent State Farm. And I know Michael Lesmeyer has already testified once before, so I'll try to keep my comments brief. Basically, State Farm strongly supports legislation that would prohibit discrimination against a victim of domestic violence. But the way the bill is drafted presently, it creates some kind of practical problems. And we believe that a bill could be drafted in a more precise way that would address the same public policy that seems to be driving this bill. So, for example, State Farm's position is that this bill is drafted too broadly, and there's, as Penny testified, there's no problem in Alaska that we have knowledge of discrimination against victims of domestic violence. Nationwide, the problem seems to be limited to health, life insurance, and disability insurance. Since that's the case, we believe this should be limited here to those insurers. Otherwise, you're putting an incredible burden on a huge range of insurance carriers. Another concern, which was addressed already today, was that this bill will create actually a special class of people who would enjoy exemption from adjustments to premiums or coverage based on their status as a victim of domestic violence. I know that was addressed, and it seems to me that the burden, even though this discrimination can't occur if the carrier is aware of or has knowledge that this person is a victim of domestic violence, the burden is shifted to the carrier to prove that they didn't know that the person was a victim of domestic violence. So you have a situation where coverage is adjusted, the person claims that they're a victim of domestic violence, the burden shifts to the carrier to prove they don't know. And as Penny testified, in many cases, people, victims of domestic violence, are reluctant to reveal that they're a victim. So as we all know, it's difficult to prove a negative, and this places the burden on the insurance carrier to prove that they didn't know. Confidentiality of records, we see that as raising some problems. First of all, again, it's sometimes the carrier's not going to know. There may be a record that reveals an injury but doesn't link the injury to any particular cause. This, again, it would place the burden on the carrier to find out, to try to do the research necessary to determine, was this a broken leg caused by domestic violence or was it caused by a slip down the stairs? It shifts the burden to the carrier and puts them in an awkward situation where they may actually be breaking the law by revealing information that they just did not know was records of a person who was a victim of domestic violence. Also, basically, that's not a provision that's necessary. At present, there's a common law privilege. It's the patient-physician privilege that protects confidentiality. And this extends not just to victims of domestic violence, but also people with other medical conditions or concerns, people with HIV, people who have drinking problems. I mean, medical records are already protected. They're confidential. And as a practical matter, according to State Farm, in my conversations with the representatives from State Farm, if somebody did divulge confidential information to anyone requesting, frankly, they'd be fired. I mean, it's just simply not done. It's kind of a common sense thing. You don't reveal personal information that you hold as a industry. The way it's drafted, it sweeps too broad. I understand the public policy behind it. The problem is that you're trying to fix a problem where there's no problem, and it's like anything. Sometimes you try to fix something that's not a problem, and you actually break something else. For example, I don't know if this is current in Alaska, but I know this was a problem that was raised in other jurisdictions where you had mandatory disclosure rules. So, for example, in an investigation of an arson, you would be required to disclose records to police investigators or whomever, detectives. And what this potentially does is place insurance carriers in a conflictual situation where they may have to actually disclose information under one law, but under this law, they're mandated not to. So that's awkward. And another possibility is that this confidentiality section could be used as a shield for someone trying to avoid disclosure of information about them, arson being another example. They could have the records withheld from disclosure by claiming that they're a victim of domestic violence, and how that, again, shifts the burden to the carrier to determine, are they really? And how should they know whether or not to disclose these records? On the disclosing the reason for termination, and in response to some of the comments made here, what it does is it create an additional burden on the carrier. Right now you have to disclose if you're terminating coverage. This would cause you to have to disclose if you're denying coverage of an applicant. That's an additional burden. As it stands, there are form letters that would go out if coverage is terminated for a reason. It's a form letter. You know, a possibility to make this more workable would be to say that the reason for denying the application would be made available upon request. If there was a termination of insurance or an adjustment in coverage, the form letter that already is going out providing the reasons for that termination or alter in coverage could simply say the basis for this is available upon request. So the bottom line is I think the idea is a good one. State Farm supports this idea. There are ways, we believe, to draft this so that it's a little more precise, a little more limited, and doesn't create problems in other areas where it's probably not intended to create problems. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's all I have. I'm available to answer questions.
Thank you, Margaret. Are there questions? I would ask you to keep them brief. We're going to have to disband here. Our 20 minutes.
Your intention to move this bill?
It is not the intent to move it at this point.
Well, I'd like to talk to you more about this.
Sure, great.
Senator Roper. Ms. Margaret, will you be available next
sure.
week?
Absolutely.
You're from Juneau?
Yes.
Mr.
Chairman, I recommend that we either move this, hold it over, or move it to subcommittee, whatever you want to do. I've got a couple of concerns about the way the language is drafted, and I also have a concern I know Mr. George is here, and the State Farm has been representative, but there's a lot more insurance companies that operate in the state, and we haven't heard a peep out of them. And I certainly think that it's our responsibility as Labor and Commerce Committee to have a little more input from the insurance industry.
Representative Porter?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if the sponsors had a chance to consider the suggestion on the disclosure, but that I would just ask that you consider that as a available upon request, as opposed to every single one having to state a finding and send it out on the denial. But just think about it.
Representative Elton.
Just a comment. I mean, we just passed out a major procurement bill without hearing from any contractors. I would say that knowing some of the people who have testified know a lot of people in the industry, and I would have expected that we would have heard from them.
Okay, without further business before us, we'll adjourn at 5:20. Thank you for staying the extra time.